time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuña Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, man, 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell with Chris and for Carl today. We're up at Falcons camp. More on what we saw, more interviews coming up in the six. But today is MLB trade deadline day, 6 o'clock. What are we going to do? And by the way, we may hear from Grant a second time if something does happen between now and 6 o'clock. Grant McCauley joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Grant, we go with a blast from the past, and it was a hell of a blast to win the World Series in Game 6 back in 2021. But what do you think, tell the audience, is left with Jorge Soler for this Braves team?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is the kind of upgrade that you wanted offensively just based on the fact that, you know, Jorge Soler has been swinging the bat well. He's getting on base, and you know this guy. And what this means, like, long-term over the next couple of years, because he is under a multi-year contract, I think they're just going to have to sort that out in the future. But going out and getting someone that could help you right now was a must, and I feel like the Braves did that. They also were able to get an arm that they know very well. I mean, this was one of the most bizarre trades I've ever seen. I think I said this morning, because I went to bed early last night, which was clearly a mistake the night before the deadline to go to bed early, and found out that three 2021 postseason heroes and or Braves were all being traded for one another. So this has been a very strange deal, unlike any that I think I could think of and unlike any that I could have thought up on my own.
Grant, when it comes to the starting pitching staff, if the Braves don't make a move in the next 15 minutes or so, do you feel that it's because Reynaldo Lopez avoided the IL and it's because Max Fried should be back soon?
Yeah, it's both of those things. And I feel like, obviously, the big picture, I mean, the biggest piece of that is the health of those two guys that would keep you from needing to go out and get involved in what, if you start to look around at the starting pitchers that were getting traded, a lot of fringe guys, a lot of fours and fives, and also pitchers that have either been kind of in that DFA limbo, perhaps, or would be very soon, or coming off the injured list. This has not been a who's who of, like, top-of-the-rotation arms, at least not yet. And we could find out in the next 15 or so minutes. We could also find out with deals that trickle through after the deadline, the same way the first Jorge Soler deal did 3 years ago. But I haven't really seen any starting pitcher that moved that, you know, was a price tag that I thought the Braves should be out there looking to pay that. If you're getting Max Fried back and if Reynaldo Lopez avoids the IL, then you consider that you do have A.J. Smith-Shawver, you do have Ian Anderson, you do have Bryce Elder. I mean, there is some depth there, rather than go out and overpay for somebody who might be exactly like one of the other three guys I just mentioned.
I know we were waiting to see if the White Sox, there's a couple of players, the Dodgers with Flaherty, waiting to see if Crochet is going to get traded. Maybe that happens here in the next 15 minutes or so. But one thing for certain, Grant, when Chris was going through the names, as Grant McCauley joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, the list of names, it's a lot of guys, unless you're hardcore baseball, they're setup guys, they're role players. You know, we saw, Philly's got a closer, Yankees got a starter, Yankees got Jazz Chisholm, we saw him pay some dividends. I get it. I'm not expecting the Braves to mortgage what's left of the future because there's not as many assets down there in the minors, but do you feel, I mean, the guys are asking me, like, what should we expect from Luke Jackson? I mean, is Luke Jackson even going to be on this roster?
Yeah, no, he definitely will be. And that's just one of those, I think, just trying to find another piece that might be able to help you out, because there have been, you know, a couple of cracks here and there in the pitching staff. Obviously, I'm talking to you the day after Grant Holmes went out and gave a fantastic spot start. And then the Braves bullpen, kind of the lesser arms, let that game completely get away. Now, the offense also didn't do what it needed to do to win against Milwaukee last night, but just kind of looking at ways that you could add just a little bit more depth. I don't know that the return of Tyler Matzek was anytime imminent. I haven't heard any updates on when that would have been happening. So this was moving a piece and then getting somebody who's had a very good July, Luke Jackson has. So that, right, obviously, getting somebody who's pitching well and then somebody who's hitting well, like Jorge Soler, I think that was kind of the design of these moves, just to at least signal to your team that we're out here trying to find you some help in a couple of different spots. The Soler deal, obviously, he's the big part of it. But I think Luke Jackson could play a role here as well, even if he's not going to be in charge of the same kind of high-leverage spots that he was last time around.
And you mentioned Soler. So Soler bats leadoff. So conceivably, we could have Soler,
so,
Rosario, and Duvall as your starting outfield until we get Ronnie Harris back.
You definitely could. And it's a strange, strange world we're living in, because none of those guys were obviously on the Braves. I don't even know if they're on the Braves' radar when they reported for spring training. You had Eddie Rosario eventually signing with Washington. Adam Duvall found his way back to Atlanta at the very end of camp. And then obviously the Soler deal. don't think we're going to see Jock Peterson coming over. The Arizona Diamondbacks seem to be pretty firmly in the buyer's camp. So not going to get everybody back in there. But, yeah, it's a strange thing that what's old is apparently new again.
Grant, when it comes to looking at the future and the rest of this season, as the Braves continue to make their way through and scrap and fight and claw, but they still remain the number one wild card spot, I just wonder if, even if they do make another move, exactly where they stand in the pecking order right now, because I need to see more from Riley, who's turning it around, Olsen, who's turning it around, Arcia looks like he might be turning it around. But at what point do you feel like the sample size would allow us to be more comfortable with the results that we've seen of late?
I mean, they just have to keep doing it. I think that's really the simplest answer I can give you. I mean, clearly you wanted to see some signs. And again, and I said this yesterday, not to, you know, jump all over this point, and I certainly am not trying to jump on Mike with it, but Austin right. Riley has been swinging the bat so well over the past month and a half that I know he had an awful first couple of months, but I kind of have separated him from guys who need to figure it out at this point. I do right. think that it's squarely Matt Olson. And you know, the other thing is you can kind of tell that Matt Olson knows it as well. He wants to get things turned around because they need him in the middle of the order to be the guy, not that hits 54 homers every year, but that is a slugger, a run producer, the way that he has been throughout his career. You throw Jorge Soler at the top of the lineup, a guy who has been getting on base, maybe you're finally able to set the table for Austin Riley. I mean, we've seen a lot of solo home runs, and that's, you know, it's great that the Braves are hitting home runs, but not as many with runners on base, and that's something that they've got to solve. So, yeah, you can look at Olson as a guy that needs to turn it around. You need more out of your other outfielders. You need a lot out of, I think, out of Michael Harris when he comes back. I think Travis d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy have been swinging pretty well. D'Arnaud's been getting a lot of playing time, though, lately, which to me is at least a little bit curious, but I don't know. Maybe you just ride the hot hand and split that playing time down the middle for the time being. But Orlando Arcia also could help you out by swinging better, but I just don't feel like the onus is on him. Really, it comes back to pretty squarely on Matt Olson. If you're going to get this lineup clicking the way that it needs to, you need the guy who's supposed to be batting cleanup to become a run-producing machine again, and he's capable of doing it, and maybe what we've been seeing lately are signs that he is starting to figure it out.
It's just so hard to get a handle on this. You talked about Austin Riley kind of out of the weeds. The OPS yeah. was 613, you know, back in May, and then the average jumped to 289 back in June, and then we get to July, he's batting 253. So, I mean, still the 14 home runs and 42 RBIs. To your point, guys have to be on base to knock him in, and the leadoff yeah. role has just been completely obliterated since Acuna's injury. So I guess all we can do is, and I guess the answer, Grant, that's, I know we come to this conclusion, guys, do your job and hit. You know, yes. Arcia, maybe that's a spark. He crushed one last night. Ozuna continues to do what he's been doing all season long. By the way, that's one of the farthest hit balls I've seen in that ballpark last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that he hits them in places where a lot of other guys would just have to buy a ticket to deliver a baseball out there. But, you know, we've got, you know, the bright spots of it, of this lineup have been few and far between. But Marcell Ozuna has been kind of a beacon of light, the North Star, whatever you want to call him in terms of, you know, being the best that the Braves have had to offer this year. It is just still, even at this point, you know, putting aside, and I talked a lot about this on From the Diamond this Sunday, or this past Sunday, you have to put aside 2023 because that is last year, and the numbers do tell you where you are this year, but it is still surprising to see the Braves regress the way that they have, and it's still difficult, despite all of these numbers and the sample size that you're asking about, Chris, to think that, well, they can't play any better than they have. Surely they can. We've just got to see them go out there and do it because, as the old saying goes, seeing is believing.
The other thing is last night, and maybe we've been so focused on the Phillies, taking Milwaukee for granted. I mean, that was a 2-1 game. Grant Holmes did a fantastic job last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Chavez didn't have his A game. And then Milwaukee just drops the hammer on you, and they do that to a lot of people.
Yeah, they do. They're a club that has fought this year to take over the National League Central. They haven't really gotten pushed by anybody. They did just lose Christian Yelich for who knows what period of time, so that's obviously not going to help them out. But even though they've traded away Corbin Burns, they continue to show that they've got enough pitching to be a contender. And even in a post-Craig Council era, this is a club that can hang around. They may not get all of the money dumped on them like some of the other contenders do, but they're a club that it seemingly they're always there. They find a way to be in there, and they find a way to be, you know, a kind of a pesky club, if nothing else. And so, yeah, the Braves need to handle their business, get on home, because we're going to be seeing a very different Miami Marlins team this weekend because they just continue to make trade after trade after trade. And that's a series that I don't know if I need to say this, but I'll say it anyway. the Braves need to take at all costs.
Yes.
Grant, when it comes to the biggest name in this market, we just got some breaking news from Ken Rosenthal. Garrett Crochet of the White Sox will not be traded. Now, I want to ask you how that relates to the Braves here, because we talked about it at the beginning of the interview. The Braves right now really don't even have the type of prospects you would think to bring back that type of arm and then even pay him what he would want to be paid. What is the state of the Braves farm system right now? Maybe even looking towards next year's trading deadline as the Braves would look to maybe revamp again. I just wonder what the state of it is, because the days of the Dansbys and the Freddies being in the pipeline are gone.
Yeah, but I mean that's been a long time ago, and even since those guys, you've had guys come along that have been very useful, if not great major leaguers, the most recent of which obviously a couple of years ago, you had Michael Harris and Spencer Strider come out of a farm system that was ranked in the high 20s in Major League Baseball. You just never know what might be down there. And all these clubs, they assess their talent differently than all the publications and websites that all of us are kind of pouring over and reading and trying to make our best judgment on. So I think that they have done a really nice job the last couple of years in particular of restocking in arms. They're also able to sign international prospects again, which was not the case for the duration of that ban that they were handed in late 2017. Those things in concert can help the Braves get back to having a higher-ranked farm system. Right now, most publications, I think, they're somewhere in the middle of the pack. That's a market improvement over being 27th, 28th, the way that they have been in some recent years. So I think they might be, even at this point, a little bit underrated, even though they may not be the most surprising and exciting names across all of baseball when it comes to prospects. It's right. Still a better farm system, and we've seen Alex Anthopoulos do more with less in the past.
Before we cut you loose, Grant, the Phillies, they got the hitting. They've just been tearing the cover off the ball. They pick up Tanner Banks, left-hander from the White Sox, so a guy they can use in a relief role, maybe as a starter on a six, if they go to a six-man down the stretch. So Phillies kind of doing the money moves. We lose Matzik. Real quick, just his legacy. I know that, 2021, we talked a lot about Soler, what he means. Matzik was part of one of the greatest bullpens of all time, wasn't he?
Yeah, not only that, but I said this on social, and I'll stand by it. As far as moments that I have witnessed in the history of the Braves franchise, Tyler Matzik authored one of the top ones you could ever ask for. You can go to thousands and thousands of games and not see a moment like that. And he stood up there and got into a serious jam and got out of it for Luke Jackson, nonetheless,
right,
to close out that Dodgers series and close out that Dodgers best opportunity to get back in that NLCS. An unforgettable moment for him. And speaking of the Dodgers, they just got Jack Flaherty from the Tigers, according to Jeff Passan of ESPN.
That's a huge move.
That's a big one.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we figured that was coming. So the Dodgers keep on doing what they're doing. We'll have to wait and see if there's any more action for the Braves. But Grant kind of said our team is on the field. Grant, if it does break, something pops, we'll get back to you, man. The six, thanks a lot.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.